Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, taking you behind the scenes with the stars and creators of the hottest shows on Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. The musical The Band's Visit is about to celebrate its one-year anniversary on Broadway. After a year in which the show swept the Tony Awards with a whopping 10 trophies, including Best Musical. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the Israeli actor Sasson Gabay, currently starring in the show as Tufik, the leader of the Egyptian police band that gets stranded overnight in a tiny desert town in Israel. It's tempting to say that Gabay stepped into the role originally played by Tony Shalhoub, but actually it's the other way around. Gabay played Tufik in the 2007 film that inspired The Band's Visit, and now the prolific 70-year-old actor, who's been described by his Tony-winning co-star Ariel Stachel as the De Niro of Israel, is making his Broadway debut in a part he first played on film more than a decade ago.
Hi, Sasson. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How's the show going? You've been in it for a few months now, and have you sort of settled into the role?
I'm already here for 3 months.
Yeah.
And three exciting months, I may say. I was settled in the role, you know, because I was in the film, and I, you may say, originated the role.
Yep.
So I felt at ease and at home with this role from the start. Although I had to adjust to the stage, but you know, I knew the scenes, I knew the text, I knew the character. So in this respect, it was I was diving into a water that I was familiar with. But you know, when you accumulate time on stage, it helps. So I know the pace more. I know the weight, the pause, etc. I'm improving in each performance. You know, to my opinion, in our profession, you never stop learning. You never stop. I sometimes discover things from my experience. In Israel, after 300 performances, I discover how to say the line more right and more. And if it's comedy, all of a sudden there's a new life that you didn't imagine. So anyway, this show, I'm really felt at ease from the start, and I was I'm really accepted by the people here and the audience here, so each performance I feel more at ease and more at home.
Yeah. Did you worked on a whole lot of, you know, plays and TV shows and films? Does The Band's Visit the film, did it hold a special place in your heart for of the work you've done?
The Band's Visit got a major place in my heart. Really, I mean, you know, I love all the characters that I created, and there are at least five of them that are dear to me, especially. But Tawfiq and The Band's Visit really, you may say, changed my career life and probably my personal life. You never know. You know, we cannot detach one thing from the other. Really, it's first of all because it's been accepted widely and worldwidely, so beautiful and touched every heart. I mean, in different nations, different people, different ages. And for me personally, I mean, it was kind of a big, oh, can we say? I don't want to use too much word, but giant step in my career. It made me known for the film viewer and also for the film industry. Yeah. And since then, I've been offered things, roles. Even more, so it, for me, it's really it's made a big change, and it's still. I mean, life is very funny, you know. After 7 years, after 10 years since we've done the film, and I mean, Oren Wolf, who was initiated the production of the band's music.
Yeah, Oren Wolf is the producer. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the producer. I think he deserves a great credit for this. I mean.
When did you hear that they wanted to make a musical?
Yeah, 7 years ago, something like that. Oren met me in Israel, in Tel Aviv. He came to meet me in a cafe through mutual friends. And he asked Nava, this girl that unfortunately passed away, if she can introduce me to him. And he was kind of a fan of mine because he didn't know anything about me, and he was so excited that I just accepted his offer to meet. Mm. And we met, and he told me about his idea. And, it sounds to me very strange, very impossible thing to do. I mean, the film is so delicate. Nothing in with how do you say?
Subtlety or nuance? Or
No.
The opposite, in the film, you mean?
No, when you say something in comma and...
In nothing in quotation marks.
In quotation, yes. Yeah. In quotation marks, nothing is happening into it. In quotation marks, nothing happening. And no chasing and no rubbing and love, a lot of love. But no, yeah. And to make out of this gentle and quiet and very minor film... To make out of it a play sounds to me very, very remote idea, to say the least. And then on top of it, to make it a musical. How
did you have an impression of all Broadway musicals, which most of them are, as kind of big, splashy, dancey,
yeah,
sequins,
yeah.
All that stuff?
Yeah, I didn't. I knew it is not going to be this one. And I think this is what's unique about this Broadway show, and to my opinion, that's why it's won so many awards, because it was something different than the usual, which I re-evaluate. I mean, it needs a lot of professionalism and lots of skills, dancing, etc. But it was so unusual in this Broadway scene to be and to see this kind of a show. That doesn't emphasize on dancing and splashing and snow and all that kind of effects. Mm-hmm. It's just a story about people, ordinary people, like me and you, like him, like our neighbor, like ourselves. So I knew that it's not going to be like that. So as I told you, after this meeting with Oren, and I agreed to do it, and I told him, when the time comes, please let me know. Mm. And then the years...
So back then, he had already talked to you about possibly being in it.
Yeah,
that right?
Okay. Yeah. And then years goes by, and then I don't know what... probably he tried all these years to raise the
And there was the creation of the musical itself, right? They had to write it.
They had to write it, and so it took years. Probably they had many versions and many... Mm-hmm. And after 6-7 years... I didn't hear from him. I mean, I heard from him now and then, but it wasn't... So I imagined they decided to do it at the end, at the off-Broadway, and I, in my heart, wished them luck. Right. And I thought probably they prefer American actor. Maybe it's more convenient because I've got, luckily, a rich career in Israel. Mm. And after Tony went, and then they did the Off-Broadway, and I heard such smashing reviews, smashing reactions all over the all the media talked about it. And in Broadway, no, it wasn't Broadway, it was Off-Broadway. And then they decided to move it to Broadway. Tony Shalhoub, wonderful Tony Shalhoub, did it. And I saw the tape of him, and I met him personally, and I knew I was a fan of him from Monk. And he did a wonderful job from what I've seen. And then after a while, he had to go to to do a TV series.
He had to go beyond the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, among, thank you, my friend, among other things. And they came for a visit, you know, all the Oren and all the bunch, some of the actors and the bunch of the creators.
Oh yeah, you know, we actually talked about this on the podcast with David and Indemar and Katrina and Tony. Everybody came.
Yeah, I met some, and they invited the cast of the film just to get acquainted, you know. And they went also to the scene where the
they went to the town, to the desert,
Yerucham, and. And so we met, and he told me...
This would have been in Tel Aviv? Where you
it was in Tel Aviv. I think it was a year ago, October, or something, September, October. And he raised it again. He said, if there will be a... maybe you'll do it. I said, okay. I said automatically yes, but I didn't believe it going to happen because for 6-7 years it didn't.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I was with my family in the summer in a trip, and I think this was April or something, in Switzerland, and I got a mail from Oren, and then I started work on it, and the rest is history, and I'm here.
What was Broadway ever a thing that you wanted to do? What did Broadway mean to you as someone who?
Well, you know, Broadway was something for me. It's like Everest, you know. I've seen some shows in Broadway, not a lot, years and years ago, and I've seen in the West End musicals, but. I didn't aspire to go there because it wasn't on my mind, and I didn't, you know, I've been asked often if I dreamt about Broadway, and I said no, the dream dreamt me, not me, because I didn't, it wasn't on my mind, and extreme fantasy was maybe West End London. And all of a sudden, I find myself here.
And so, what made it? As you mentioned, you're very busy in Israel. You've got stuff, you know, on stage, on screen. What makes it worth it for you to come here for as long as you're going to be here? What's the attraction?
First of all, I mean to be on Broadway. Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy not only for me. I think for every American actor that struggle. To make a career and to find new paths and new stages in his career and if American actor aspire to be on Broadway, you can imagine how is for me from Israel to be in Broadway. It's not only I was excited, all my associates, all my friends, all my colleagues. I don't talk about families and friends, and just fans. They were more excited than I was. You know, sometimes I see colleagues here come to visit and see the play, and I see afterwards, and I meet them, and they are more excited than me to see me on stage. Yeah. They say, "I see you on stage. I got the."
Yeah, and of course they've seen you on stage multiple times, right? Just not on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, and they're not believing it. So it's it's kind of a wet fantasy for an actor to be on Broadway. So this is the one, and it's also for me, you know, to reach another audience, to reach another goal to achieve. It wasn't so easy. I had to take this task and. To be good in it, and supply the material, and it was kind of a challenge that I was so glad that I was able to give a good job in it, and to do it and to see the reward of it.
Yeah, how is the version of this character that you're playing on stage? How is he different from that you played in the film. Is he at all in your head?
I don't think he's different. He's the same. It's the same character. But you know, it's already 10 years since I've done Tawfiq.
So you're different.
So I'm different, and Tawfiq is different because of that.
Yeah.
I think we both of us matured during these 10 years, and I see more weight in the more depth and more weight in the character. More sadness in the sad parts, more maturity, and more whatever it was in Tawfiq, which is a very timid character and very gentle and very sad, whatever was in him, it's become more deeper. And during these years.
For our listeners who haven't, who maybe haven't seen the film, how would you describe the musical as being? How faithful is it to the film? Are there significant differences? What's your take on?
I think it's quite faithful. I mean, there are few scenes added or maybe expanded a little bit, maybe the family scenes. And in each character almost, or each main character, the principal character, got a song or two that explain his feeling or his feeling towards something that happens in the play or his vision of life. So in this respect, it's different, but the story is really faithful. And I mean, I think David Cromer... And
David Cromer is the director.
Is the director, and Itamar Moses, the one who make the adaptation,
yep.
And David Yazbek, which has done, I think, a terrific job. All the three people managed to take it and give it another dimension, another stage, and they built it so carefully and so delicately that I was really amazed because you know the first time I came here. To see it, I saw it in the tape. In the tape, you cannot judge,
yeah.
You know, because it's very misleading you. But and I saw it in the stage.
And when did you see it first on stage?
June when I came.
Okay, yeah.
It was with the Darius.
Just after the Tony.
It was during the Tony.
Tonys.
Yeah, before yeah. The few days before.
Yeah. Did you go to the Tonys this year?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Done. Yeah.
Good.
Wow. That's
must have been fun for you.
It's a fun thrill of my life. I was sitting near Eran Kolirin, who wrote and directed the film.
Yeah.
And we were both of us in our suits and our ties, our black ties, and we are sitting and. Seeing,
and your show kept winning.
Award after award. We got crazy, you know. And also, you know, we are from Israel, remote Israel, and we are see De Niro, and we see this man and Bruce Springsteen. It was a great thrill for us.
So you saw the band's visit for the first time on stage at some point around that.
Yeah,
and what did you think?
I thought to myself. What can they add to this film? And I found myself sitting, attracted and so hypnotized by this story, by this way of they portrayed it so delicately and so gently, and like a magnet, you know. It was really something new that I didn't expected that I would find. So it was really, and I think all if I had this experience from taking the fact that I knew things and I know all the material, for somebody who doesn't know anything for the audience, I feel them and I see them attracted, you know, bit by bit, and it's built so delicately. So at the end of the show, you can see the audience, the heart of the audience, go to the stage
right.
Because he went through all this night that this Egyptian orchestra encounter with the Israeli people from this remote town, and what they passed through this night, and everyone changed during this night and have some metamorphosis, you know, in his character, in his way of life. No, a lot of time when we meet strangers, we are more open to them than we are open to people that we know, because we allow ourselves to be more open, more free. We are less care or afraid what they think about us. And that's what happened to this the group of musicians with the group of the Israelis.
Did Tony Shalhoub have any advice for you? Or did you solicit any advice from him?
I took from the tape one thing that he's done, one gesture that he's done, and I think I stole from him some laugh that he managed to do. He told me that I feel free to take anything, and I, as much as I could, I took from him.
Right. Does the message of the band's visit land any differently now than it did 10 years ago in your mind?
Look, the message is not political, to my opinion, and also to Iran Kolirin, who wrote and directed the film. It's not political. And I talked about it with him. He's not thinking politics. It's about humanity, about our need to love, to caress, to be frank, not to be a winner, not to be bright, not to be rich, not to be... this struggle and this competition of life, all of a sudden, I think this is what the audience loves in it, you know. They found themselves breathing normally, no too much ambition. Why did I say that? I don't remember.
I just wondered if the sort of political situation of the world now has changed the way kind of people view the story.
Yeah, so I started in saying that it's not a political film and not political play and musical, but it's nevertheless it gives another look. The Mediterranean is in our minds, in our concepts. Through all over the world is a place of struggle, of conflict, of bloodshed, of tears, and in somehow it's true. But also there are people there. There are people from many different nations, and all of them are people that wants to live and wants to enjoy life, and to go through this journey that God gave us the chance to. Safely and the best that they can do. So, in this respect, it's political because it shows another Mediterranean, not the Mediterranean that people used to have in their minds.
Right. Yeah. You, as I mentioned, you do a lot of stage work in Israel, and we in the U.S. are very sort of American or English language focused. What are we missing? What are there any writers we should be paying attention to?
There's a lot. I think there is one writer that I think every theater goer in the world must know is Chanoch Levin. His name is Chanoch Levin. He passed away a few years ago, and he was really a brilliant man. And I think he was so fruitful. I mean, he wrote so many plays about, I think.
And where did you star in some of them?
I worked in three of them. I was lucky enough to meet him, to work with him. He was a very great playwright and great director. And he's produced in Europe quite a lot. Not in the States. I think the American audience should know this man, Chanoch Levin. Yeah. Also, there's also Adam, Hillel Mittelpunkt, and Yoshua Sobel. There are some very, very, very good new and old playwrights.
You've also done your fair share of American and English drama as well. Are there any roles that you've always wanted to play in the American canon or the English speaking canon?
A new one,
or an old one? Whatever. Yeah.
Look, I've done Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in Hebrew in Israel, and I love this play.
Yeah.
And if he's not, maybe we can find another solution for him to be not American professor, but somebody maybe from a different country. Yeah. I would love to do this play again. Oh. I'd love to do Death of a Salesman. Mm-hmm. I love to do Shakespeare. I love to do Lear. Yeah. I've got things.
I've got a
list of things that I want to do. My appetite for theater and cinema and TV is strong, as my appetite for life. People ask me, "Don't you want to slow down?" And I say, "I don't want to slow down in life. I don't want to quit the theater or retire or whatever, because I've got an appetite for theater as I have an appetite for life."
Yeah. How much longer are you in the band's visit?
My contract here is till next June.
Yeah. So you've essentially been here a whole year, will have been here a whole year.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And I don't know, it seems like from the reaction of the audience that this show on Broadway is going to last a lot more.
It seems like it'll be going for a while.
Yeah. And so I don't know if they will offer me to continue. Maybe I'll give it a thought. So there's a chance that it will be even more than a year.
Well, we look forward to seeing what's next. Thanks, Cecil. Nice to
talk
to you.
You too. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
That was Sasan Gabay, now starring in the Tony-winning Broadway musical, The Band's Visit. If you like what you've heard on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes and subscribe wherever finer podcasts are dispensed. On the next episode of Stagecraft, I talk to Michael C. Hall, the star of TV shows like Dexter and Netflix's Safe, now starring off-Broadway in Will Eno's one-man show, Tom Paine, Based on Nothing. Until then, see you at the theater.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.